are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you may be and wherever you may be all around this beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the first time, welcome. We're glad to have you, and I hope you'll take the time to take a look around the KevinSmithShow.com website. While you're there, be sure you subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, our free weekly newsletter. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, so there's really no reason for you to be sitting around in the dark while everyone else is in the light, all right? So you need to be getting that K-Files e-zine each week. There's an interesting story, interesting news item, that's running in the science sites right now. I think you can probably access it from Yahoo. You can also get it at LifeScience.com. But it's pretty interesting what has been discovered. What has been discovered is a tiny, 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 really tiny little bacteria previously unknown. And where it was discovered is what makes it even more intriguing. It was discovered under 2 miles of ice in Greenland. They say it's 120,000 years old. It's been under the ice for 120,000 years and still alive. Now, of course, that means that it has been living and it has been reproducing itself for all these 120,000 years under 2 miles of ice. Well, I think you see the possible implications of that. We would have thought that was not possible. We would have thought it was too cold, there's way too much pressure, not enough oxygen, and very little, if any, food supply for this little bacteria. But there it is. Nonetheless, alive and well under 2 miles of ice for 120,000 years. Scientists are saying that samples of the soil that have been taken on Mars indicate that it's way, way, way too salty for life to exist. And that the oceans, it indicates that the oceans that used to be on Mars were just way too salty. And that most likely that means life did not develop. Here on this Earth, on terra firma, in Greenland, is proof that life happens where you least expect it, under conditions that you think could not support life. Now, haven't I been saying that right here on this show? Haven't I been saying that life happens and that just because the conditions are not conducive to life as we experience life, that doesn't mean anything at all about whether life could exist there? Not only can it exist 2 miles under the ice for 120,000 years, I bet you I just bet you it can exist on Mars in very salty seas, and I bet you life can exist in an atmosphere and soup of methane, as on Titan. We'll be back with Joshua Shapiro and Crystal Skulls right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel OnStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Well, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival.
Galaxy.
My guest this evening is Joshua Shapiro. He has been with us before. Some of you may remember that interview where we talked about crystal skulls. He's back with us again this evening, and we're going to explore just a little bit further and a little bit deeper into these crystal skulls. As you know, there is now a very famous movie out there having to do with these crystal skulls, or the search for crystal skulls. And, you know, it's got Harrison Ford in it, and you know, well, it's the Indiana Jones movie. You're familiar with it. Lots of people are interested in the Crystal Skulls now, and Joshua has been involved with studying these Crystal Skulls, researching about them, being around them since 1983. Joshua, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Always a pleasure and honor to be here.
Joshua, what's basically, what's the story with the Crystal Skulls? I know the legend is that the Crystal Skulls, there's supposed to be, I think, 13 of them, original skulls, and then they're supposed to have some kind of special powers. What's with that?
Okay, well, I was just watching the sci-fi program that was on where they were also mentioning that, because I was in Brazil when it came on the television. There is a legend that's talked about through the Native Americans and possibly also through Mesoamerican cultures, a belief of 13 original crystal skulls, which could possibly be, since your show is related to UFOs, they could have been gifts from the gods that were brought here as tools to assist humanity in awakening and consciousness. The thing, though, that I was thinking about this as I was watching the sci-fi show, there is different people have different opinions, so I can only give an opinion, because when it comes to crystal skulls, it's really difficult to be able to say we have absolute scientific facts and proofs about various things. Hopefully in the show we can talk about some other aspects, which are experiences that our people are having with the skulls, which we can say are definitely happening. But one of the things, I've had a conversation with my partner, Blue L. Rainbow. We've done crystal skull work together now for over 6 years. And both of us, and this is coming from intuition, so obviously there are going to be some people who will disagree with this. We're not totally convinced nor sure that any of the so-called ancient crystal skulls, these would be ones that could be 1,500 or 2,000 or much older crystal skulls, are actually members of this set. Like, for example, they were talking about on the Sci-Fi Channel that perhaps 8 of them had been found, and there's another 5 to be found. But kind of my feeling is, and also Blue Air Rainbow, is we think that possibly what's happened is the ancient skulls that are out now are basically preparing people for when these original 13 may come out at some later time, that possibly the energy connected with this original set could be so powerful and so high that it might be physically impossible for a human being to even be in their presence. Similar to what happened around King Tut, as I recall, there were a lot of strange things happening with the artifacts around King Tut, as if there was, you know, maybe an energy or something that the people couldn't deal with it. Now, in the writing of our new book,
I've got a question before we go any further. Something has happened with your telephone. We're getting a real loud static and pop and buzz.
Okay, so, let me see if I move closer to the receiver.
If you're using a cordless phone, it's going to be hell for the whole show.
Yeah, because that's all we have here is the cordless one.
Okay,
Is it better if I'm closer to here?
It may be. It may be. We get with cordless phones, we get that every time, and we get echoes. But we'll see what we can do. All right.
Okay.
What's the deal, though, with skulls? Why skulls? Why these ancient skulls? Why that? Why do we not have crystal mice? Instead, we have crystal skulls. What's the significance of that?
Okay. This is a question, of course, that's asked many times by people when I'm doing the presentations, you know, because we have many different forms and objects in which crystals can be shaped in. And the answer that I give for this is the following. To the Mesoamerican people, when we've talked with them, they have a different perception about what death is about. They don't see it like the end of existence. They see it that there is another life, which, of course, goes with what we talk about with, like, reincarnation and so on. But I think that what the skull represents is it's similar to like with the pyramids, where you go one third of the way down top from the pyramid and you come into a very special energy field where metal is rejuvenating and there are certain things that go on. I believe that the shape of the skull, even the human bone skull that we have, is this shape is conducive to receiving cosmic knowledge and information. Now, quartz crystal already, for me, is a transmitter and receiver of various frequencies of energy and vibration. And so what I believe is it's kind of like a dimensional portal. It gives the opportunity for different frequencies of energies from different dimensions to be broadcast so that we can actually receive them here on the Earth. So that's
there's certainly scientific proof of that.
Yes.
Because in the early days... And, in fact, you can still make a crystal radio.
Yeah.
And it has no battery. It's got, you know, it just has a little earpiece and has a crystal that just naturally vibrates. And,
exactly.
And you can pick up AM radio signals that way and listen to radio.
Exactly.
Joshua, I think you're probably in about the same age range as I am.
Uh-huh.
You remember when we were kids, you could buy a kit.
Yes, exactly.
And it looked like a little rocket ship.
Right.
Buy a kit to make a crystal radio. And
then
you just had a little piece of metal that you move along a coil of wire to change to a different channel. And you could listen to radio that way. So crystal's already vibrating. We know that. It's very receptive to frequencies.
Right.
And
so
what you're saying is that they can actually, these frequencies could actually be off-Earth frequencies.
Yes, because I think what happens is when you take the crystal and then you put it into the shape of the skull, then it seems to behave in a much different way than, let's say, regular pieces of crystal that are in other shapes. For example, there are a number of people, even with the new crystal skulls, that are talking about, well, the crystal skull is talking to me. It's telling me it likes certain situations, or it likes cold water versus warm water, or it wants to go to a crop circle, or I need to hand my crystal skull to a certain individual. This is not only happening for my partner and I, but many people are writing to us through the Internet that they're kind of having these personal relationship with the crystal skull. So what I think what happens is when it's put into this form, because of the properties of quartz, that it deals with these different frequencies of energies, there are different, like, spirits that start to come in and the crystal skulls start to have kind of a personality to it. Because, for example, when I received my first large skull, which is called Portal de Luz, which is Portal of Light, this was in Sedona, Arizona. It was a gift from my second wife. From the very first day, I start having these conversations with it, and I'm starting to ask myself the question, okay, who is talking to me? Is this the consciousness of the crystal, or is this some kind of spirits that, because the crystal is a portal to other dimension, it feels some affinity for me, and so it works through the crystal and has this communication, and then there's different frequencies and energies that can come through. And then if we look at the ancient skulls and we start to think about, well, the stories we hear from the indigenous people is that these crystal skulls are being placed in ceremonies that have gone on for hundreds or thousands of years. And if the crystal is also receiving and storing all the frequencies and energies of events and activities that are going on around it, then again, this is a really strong energy or a strong power that's coming into the skull. So it's really, it's like a combination of different things. Of course, a lot of this is kind of a speculation. We're trying to explain why people are having such a strong effect by crystal skulls. In the beginning, when I started, as you mentioned, in 1983, most of the interest was only around the ancient skulls that were human size. However, what's starting to happen now is, since, you know, I call it crystal skull mania, with the movie coming out and all the crystal skulls that are on the Internet and all the media programs that have been coming out recently, more and more people are desiring to have their own crystal skull. Many people are starting to have really special experiences, even with the new ones. Now, the theory there could possibly be that, and this is, again, this was a message that I received when I got my first big one in Sedona, is he was telling me, you know, there's like this energy network, etheric energy network, that's what he called it, that exists, And all of the crystal skulls have the ability to link into it, like almost like an internet. You know, like on our internet today, people can connect on one computer and they can talk to somebody on another computer. For example, today I just bought a new computer that has all the bells and whistles, and I was sitting in a bread place eating my breakfast, talking to somebody on Skype through a wireless, and it was so clear, it was like he was there with us, talking to us. So I think also the crystal skulls are connected to some kind of an energy network that when they become activated or alive, and there are certain processes of doing this, they are connected into this network and they can actually start receiving energies, information from other crystal skulls all over the world. So I'm
The thought just occurred to me that if this is actually happening and people are experiencing it, they're not imagining it, they're hearing these voices, you may have just put SETI out of business.
Well, that's possible.
You might be receiving messages from ET out there.
Well, this is there's a possibility on this, and I share this because one time I was fortunate to have a mold of the famous Mitchell Hedges skull. Came through a man named Frank Joseph, and he was in Illinois when I was in Illinois, and he just said, okay, you can have the mold. So I took it with me to Brazil, and when I was in Brazil, I was with a UFO group. I think it was part of the Rama group, which is connected to Sixto Paz from Peru. It was his brother who was living in Brazil. And I was just sitting across from this young lady, and we had the mold of the Mitchell Hedges skull there. And I don't know, for some reason, I just linked into like a vision, or, you know, maybe I was imagining it. But I felt like I was on board a spacecraft with her, and we were working with crystal skulls. It was like we were putting in energies or programming it or doing something with it. And those crystal skulls that were on board the spacecraft were communicating with the crystal skulls down here on the Earth. And it was like the crystal skulls down on the Earth were broadcasting to the ones on the ship, like, what's happening down here, you know, what kind of experiences and activities were going on, as if they were kind of watching to observe to see, I call us the younger brothers and sisters on the Earth, what we were doing as far as, you know, if we're causing problems for the planet or something like that, that maybe these people on board the spacecraft could send special energies down to their counterparts, skulls on the Earth. So one of the things I try to do, Kevin, is a lot of people will write to me, especially now, it's like people are coming out of the woodwork, it seems. And different people are coming at us with all these kind of ideas, and they're saying to us, look, I'm not crazy, or, you know, I'm not some crackpot. I had this vision connected to the crystal skull, or I have this idea, and we need to share it with somebody. So I'm just kind of like a collector. You know, I'm collecting all these different pieces, and hopefully, you know, through our research center, we have the World Mystery Research Center, we can try to put all these pieces and parts together and try to figure out, you know, what's going on with the crystal skulls. Because in actuality, what they are, it's just a piece of quartz crystal that's in the shape of a skull. But yet, there's like an energy field around it. It's affecting people in profound ways, changing their dreams. People are being healed. People are getting their creative gifts are all of a sudden opening up. Their psychic gifts are all of a sudden opening up. Certain people are feeling they have to bring the skulls to certain places on the earth and do meditation. I mean, the list goes on and on and on that's going on around this. So this is why I'm very fascinated by it. Every day something new goes on, and being an Aries person who likes variety, this seems to be the perfect thing for me to be involved in.
I'm going to ask you a question that may seem rather strange to you, but there's a reason behind it.
Sure.
Has anyone ever counted the teeth?
Yes, there have been a number of people who have actually looked at the different skulls, especially the ancient one, and counted teeth, and they don't always have the same number of teeth we have in our mouth. Sometimes it's less, and I don't know if I recall ever hearing it was more. I can't remember which skull, but I remember a couple of the ancient ones had like 26 or 28 teeth, and I believe we have 32, if I'm correct.
Mm.
So some of them actually have less.
The reason I ask that is because there are stories of extraterrestrials living on the planet at various times, and including our time. And we've had guests right here on the show that have said they have met extraterrestrials who have a different number of teeth. Now, I can't remember how many we're supposed to have, but let's say it's 32, then they have 26. Or if it's the other way around, we have 26 and they have 32. I think it's 32 we have and they have 26.
Yeah.
Now, so you've got some skulls that have 26. When I look at the pictures, and they're on my website, so folks, you can go over to kevinsmithshow.com, and right beside the photograph of Joshua is a link to his site, and right beside that link is a link to a page on my site, and there are some photographs there that come from his site. It's only there for this show, all right? But you need to go to his site because there's a whole lot more to see. But the point is, I wanted them there so that we could refer to them. Some of those crystal skulls, the ancient crystal skulls, have elongated heads.
Yep.
It's not that they're cone-shaped, but they're elongated. They go further back.
Right.
And they don't look human.
Exactly.
Because of that. And then if they've got a different number of teeth than humans, then we're looking at skulls that are not human skulls.
Right. Exactly. The two that I can think of that look extraterrestrial is one is called E.T. That's a smoky quartz human-sized skull that Yoki Van Deaton has, which I felt honored that I was able to see it with her for the first time when it was brought out, found in Guatemala by a family digging on their property. And that one definitely is not a human skull. There was an archaeologist who looked at that one, she told me, and said, we've never found a bone skull that matches how E.T. looks like. And the other one that I think is kind of extraterrestrial is called Synergy, which is with Sherry Whitfield in Tucson, Arizona. That one is larger than human size, and it also, the proportions of it are different than the human skull. When Blue Arrow Rainbow and I had a chance to visit with that skull in 2004 while we were traveling through Arizona and California at that time, we both had a kind of a feeling or a vision that there was like a people that looked like a lion. They had like a lion face that was linked to that crystal skull. That was the kind of the image that came.
Well, that's interesting because the face on Mars has sort of cat-like features.
Exactly. I just saw that on the sci-fi program as I was watching that. So you know, part of the theory is, well, the idea was is, okay, today the modern carvers are using diamond-tip tools, which are able to cut through the quartz like butter. But these diamond-tip tools were not developed until the 1970s, and many of these crystal skulls were coming out far before the 1970s. So the thing that's being bantered around is there are some people, archaeologists, actually I was on another radio show last night and the gentleman brought it up because there was a report out of the Smithsonian that they believe all these crystal skulls were done at least in the 1800s because there are some very good carvers in Idar-Oberstein in Germany. I know one and I had a chance to interview him and ask him, and he did tell me that they were trying to carve human-type skulls in the 1800s as a test for the carvers, you know, to see how good they were. But, you know, the crystal skulls are more than just the form. What I noticed on the Sci-Fi Channel, a lot of the information was just kind of looking at its form and how could it have been done. But what we have to remember is that there's a strong energy field that's also around these objects. And this is part of the research that we've conducted, which when my book comes out here in America, there's going to be a whole chapter just about the research that we did with different devices, blindfolding people. And actually the blindfold idea came from Bill Holman, who's now the guardian of the Mitchell Hedges skull, where we were testing the energetic effect of the crystal skulls upon, you know, people, but they were blindfolded, so they didn't know what they were being tested with.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Joshua Shapiro about the crystal skulls, and I've got some more questions, Joshua, and in the next hour, of course, we'll open up the telephone lines, and our audience can ask questions, but I've got a list of questions yet.
about these crystal skulls. Mysterious stuff, is it not? We'll be back right after this.
Contemplating time travel. If I could travel back in time tonight, I know exactly what I'd do. I would be standing on your doorstep, baby, singing these words, shouting them to you, saying, stay with me. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me? A list and check it twice, and just forget the Santa Claus. I would be flying back across the years and standing at your door, because I'm moving a little faster than the speed of light as Albert raises one eyebrow. I would be knocking on your door again, baby, singing these words, shouting them out, saying, stay. Won't you stay with me? Because I'm begging, please. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me? Every once in a while, your heart gets wondering how your life might have been if you'd have made a left instead of taking that right. Well, go ahead and wander. It ain't no sin now. Stay with me. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me? Travel back in time tonight, I know exactly where I'd go. Driving across the years down dusty roads that take me to your door, because it's taking forever just to realize exactly what I should have said. But in a moment I'm back at your door, singing the words that echo in my head. Stay.
And tonight, we welcome KHEL in Rogers, Arkansas. They join us as an affiliate officially tonight. And for all of you listening on KHEL in Rogers, Arkansas, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Joshua Shapiro is talking with us about these crystal skulls. Everybody is abuzz about crystal skulls right now because of the Indiana Jones movie. But we're talking about the real crystal skulls. We were talking about those elongated skulls, and we're talking about the teeth. But how, you know, we talk about these ancient skulls. How do they go about dating them? I know that can't be easy.
Well, normally when an archaeologist goes into an ancient dig, they're using carbon-14 dating to date organic substances that they find. Quartz crystal is an inorganic substance. So the way that they're trying to figure out whether a crystal skull is ancient or not, and I don't think this is really a good technique, is they're looking for what's called carver tool marks, These are the marks that are left by, you know, metal instruments or the instruments that are used to carve the skulls. You'll see it as circular marks, etc. But the problem with this is, let's say, for example, we have an ancient skull that was done in Atlantis over 15,000 years ago. And that skull travels all over the world, goes from civilization to civilization, comes to the Mayans or the Aztec, and one of their head religious leaders looks at the skull and says, you know, I don't like this feature. I would like to have a carver change it for me. As soon as the carver puts a tool to it, then it leaves these marks on side of it, and then the modern archaeologist will say, okay, this is a newly done skull. It's not an ancient one. The only way that we've been able to really try to figure out the age, and it's not so scientific, although I think that more and more science people are looking, is to try to work from a paranormal perspective. Now, what I mean by that is sometimes when we have these crystal skulls that come out, we will try to work with a sensitive who can feel the vibrations and the energy and can try to link into a history. But the problem is that when we work with sensitives, they don't always tell the same history or story about the crystal skulls. And my theory is that sometimes what happens is the crystal skulls act like a mirror and are mirroring back to the sensitive aspects about past lives, about themselves, and this might be part of the reason why there's not a consistency. Another thing that we can try to do, but again, it's very difficult to follow the historical path on this, is we can go back to the indigenous people where the skulls are being found. Primarily, most of these ancient skulls have come out of either Mexico or Central America, although there are some exceptions to this, and I think we're going to find crystal skulls in many other parts of the world. And we can listen to what they say. They're legends. But, you know, modern archaeologists and scientists have a tendency that when these indigenous people talk about their legends, they don't give them very much credibility. They just say they're a nice story. But I think that all of the legends are based on some aspect of truth. For myself, the only way that I can know if I'm in the presence of an ancient skull or a newer skull, it's basically how I feel. And what I mean by that is, for example, in March, as I was involved in, you know, some interviews they were doing for the Sci-Fi Channel, which was not aired, and also for another program that's coming out on the Smithsonian Cable Network, I had a chance to meet with Bill Holman, who has the Mitchell Hedges skull. And finally, for the first time after 25 years, I had a chance to actually sit with that crystal skull privately. And I have to tell you, Kevin, that was the most powerful, amazing experience I've ever had in my life of any of the crystal skulls that I've ever seen. I felt like I was in heaven. I felt very calm, very peaceful. I still think that whatever happened to me in that 20 minutes that I had the chance to be in the presence of it is still affecting me, because I just feel like, you know, I'm pretty calm. I just feel like everything's going to go well. A lot of the projects which I've banged my head against for many, many years, all of a sudden doors are opening. And, you know, maybe somehow that crystal skull helped me or something like that. But for me, it's kind of a sensing of the energy field that I feel around the artifact. Like, for example, I think I was talking to you when we had our personal call. How do you pronounce Mr. Masson's first name in Mexico?
Yeah, Jaime Masson.
Yeah, so I met Jaime Masson just in Brazil. That was a great honor for me because, you know, for a long time I've been seeing his reports in Mexico about all the UFOs, and in the conference he showed this amazing video where there were like over 100 UFOs in the sky over Mexico, and there were these living creatures that were appearing in the sky. Absolutely, you know, very amazing. But then I'm sitting there minding my own business, you know, just eating my lunch or my dinner, and Jaime says, you know, I have a crystal skull. I said, you do? He says, yes, it's a full-size rose quartz crystal skull. And when they were digging in the ground to make a building, the crystal skull just popped up, and he was able to obtain this. And I think probably in August I'm going to go meet with him to see the skull and see what I feel. But he sent us some pictures, and I feel that the skull has a powerful energy and is quite old. But when I compare how I feel with that one to what I feel with the Mitchell Hedges skull, what I felt with E.T., what other one? There's another crystal skull called Ami, which is in California. That was the first one I saw. you know, there's just this powerful energy that's around these older ones. And then having experienced so many of the newer ones or some of the old ones, like I think in the British Museum, they have a full-size human crystal skull, which I actually had a chance to meditate with once and touch it. You know, there's this, like a difference of the level of energy. But just because, let's say, an ancient crystal skull has maybe a stronger energy than a newer crystal skull, what I think the listeners need to understand is that every crystal skull has a purpose and a reason. They all work together. And in order for us to really understand what they're all about, we have to study both all three categories of crystal skulls, the very ancient ones, then they have what are called the old skulls, which are over 100 years old to about 1,000 or 1,500, and we have the new ones. Each crystal skull that we have contact with, as we study it, and I mean we listen to the experiences people have, or sometimes we are able to test skulls, as I mentioned before, with different equipment, or we, you know, are able to go travel where some of the ancient ones are. Each one has a part to play. And what I feel is this transformation of the world. That's why they're kind of coming out. So to get back to your question, we don't have a definitive way to say, okay, we do a scientific test, and because of the results of this scientific test, this crystal skull is ancient or old. Of course, the new ones we know because we know exactly how they're made. So
all
there's
right,
really... Yeah.
Let's go back to the shape of the skulls.
Okay.
The size and shape of a crystal...
Mm-hmm.
We know has an effect upon what frequencies you can tune into if you use it for a radio.
Right.
The size and the shape of these crystal skulls may have an effect on what frequencies that it can pick up on. So if you have an ancient skull like E.T., the skull named E.T.,
right.
That is quite obviously not human. Perhaps it's tuning in to frequencies quite different from a modern skull that is human.
Well, the only comment I could make, and this is based on personal experiences and also listening to other people too, is that each one is unique unto itself. Even if, like for example, sometimes what we'll do is we'll do tests where we'll take a new skull and we'll put it by an ancient skull. And we've actually seen where there's been a transference and all of a sudden that newer skull is completely different. It's not the same skull. That happened to me with my meditation with the Mitchell Hedges skull.
It's not the ancient skull that changes?
No. I think that the ancient skulls, however they've been... activated, programmed, or whatever, it almost feels like it's by an intelligence or a consciousness far beyond what we can understand sometimes, that they are pretty well set in the way in which they function. The new ones are changing all the time. Like when I bought Portal de Luz, he was a very dark gray color because he's smoky quartz. And just the way that he looked inside, you know, I just brought him to a friend here in Chicago when I came back to Chicago, and she looked at the skull and said, I can't believe this is Portal de Luz. He's lighter, and whatever's going on inside of him is completely different than what I remember seeing with him like about 5 or 6 years ago. So the new skulls are changing, and of course, to a scientist, I think that this would be something that they would not like to hear about, that there are quartz crystals which are actually changing their structure. They're getting lighter in color or darker in color depending upon who they're working with. Example of this, again, you know, I have so many stories that I watch things happen. I was interviewed in England in Taunton by a television show, and the lady who interviewed me, she loved crystals. She had many crystals in her house, and so I gave her Portal de Luz, and Portal de Luz became very light in color and light in weight. But then she passed it to an associate who, like, he said, you know, what are these crystal skulls? You know, it was like he didn't want anything to do with them, and immediately Portal de Luz became darker and heavier on him. So it was like changing very quickly. So
now when you say heavier, you're talking about actual weight?
Exactly. For example, when I brought Portal de Luz home from Sedona the very first time and I weighed him, he was like 8 or 8.5 pounds. And then the next day he was 10 pounds. So the only way that I can explain this change in weight is it has to do with energy. In other words, whatever energy the crystal skulls are channeling, because we already talked about this, that they can be channeling different energies from different dimensions, etc., this actually changes their physical properties. Like, for example, when I hand Portal de Luz to a person who really is connected with crystal skulls.
Hate to do it. We got a break. It's on us. So we will continue talking with Joshua Shapiro about crystal skulls on the other side of this break. And in the next hour, we will open the telephone lines for you. All right? We'll be back right after this. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. We're talking with Joshua Shapiro, and we're talking about the crystal skulls. Very mysterious things, these crystal skulls, especially the ones of ancient origin.
You know, Joshua, I guess they're all mysterious because of the energy that you're talking about. But, you know, it's even more mysterious when we think about these ancient skulls, because you wouldn't suspect that these ancient people, whom we've been told over and over by sociologists and archaeologists, were very primitive people, that they would have the wherewithal to create these skulls. And then you have to wonder, if they did create them, why did they create skulls that are not anatomically correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
and let me throw this in. They certainly knew what skulls look like, because if the sociologists and the archaeologists are correct, some of these tribes were pretty bloodthirsty. Mm-hmm. And so they certainly knew what skulls, human skulls, looked like.
Right.
Why would they carve a skull that was different from what they knew a human skull looked like?
Well, either they were making some kind of stylized skull to reflect their gods, or, as we've already speculated, maybe these were the gifts from the gods that were given to them as tools. The Mayan, there was a Mayan priest that I talked with briefly, I can't remember his name. He's out of Guatemala. And basically what they were talking about is that the crystal skulls had the wisdom and knowledge from the grandfathers from the Pleiades. So that right away is starting to give an indication that they were aware of a connection with another race of beings coming from the star system of the Pleiades. The similar, for example, in the crystal skull festivals that we're going to be having in Europe this year, in Belgium and Hungary, there is a Native American that I've talked with who is going to come. His tribe does not work directly with crystal skulls, but he does recognize them as a sacred tool. But the key is that he told me specifically that they have the wisdom and the knowledge of their tribe. It's a very small tribe in Missouri, and that its origins come from the stars. In other words, their ancestors came from the stars, and I've heard this before from other Native Americans as well. So, you know, if these crystal skulls could not have been made by, you know, the Mesoamerican people, that they didn't have the technology to do it, then we're only left with two possibilities. One possibility is maybe there was a more advanced civilization, such as Atlantis or Lemuria, which I believe is the case, or it could be, there was a channel that we spoke to in our first book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, named Michael Kent, who said that in Atlantis, through the Pleiadians, the Atlanteans were given the technologies, an advanced technology, that allowed them to change a bone skull into a quartz skull. And he further stated that in the case of the Michilhedges skull, he felt this is what happened, is that there was an Atlantean priestess who was very well respected, and the priest, when she died, knew this technique, and they were able to convert her bone skull into a crystal skull. So there's a lot of different theories. So either these advanced skulls could be coming from extraterrestrial, they could be coming from advanced civilizations, or we've also come up with the possibility of a connection with the inner Earth or the hollow Earth, which is a whole other area, if you want to get involved in that.
Well, yeah, let's do. What's that all about?
Okay, again, this comes through Michael Kent, but also there's another woman that I've talked with. I think she's in Hawaii now, and it's a little bit late for me, so I'm apologizing to your audience. I don't remember the names of all the people. Maia is the first name of this lady. Both of these individuals said that a long, long time ago, the Earth was colonized by different galactic races that came here, and many of these galactic races decided to go into the inner Earth in order to live. The theory of the inner Earth basically states that the Earth is hollow. There is a small sun at the center. The aurora borealis that we see, the northern lights, is the reflection of lights coming through an opening at the North Pole, which is reflected by clouds that are going over that. My only experience I have connected to this is when I was in Alaska, which is, you know, quite close up in the north where they have sunlight 24 hours a day, I did not feel a connection with the earth in the ground as I normally do, like here in Chicago or when I'm traveling around. I felt the connection with the earth in the sky. which I think may be because of the electromagnetic energy that flows through this opening in the pole. In any case, if the Earth is hollow, it means that gravity would hold someone on the outer surface, as we know, but also on the inner surface. And it's stated that there were these very advanced races who had an entire, sort of like what you saw in the Indiana Jones, they showed an entire crystal skeleton. I hope I'm not blowing that for people who haven't seen the movie yet. But in his theory, he said that these races came and that they had a crystal skull with a crystal body that had the total knowledge and information and encoding genetics for their specific race. And so the speculation is, according to this gentleman, that the original crystal skulls, which these Native Americans have talked about or were reported in Chris Morton and Sherry Louise's book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls, where they talked about the original 13, that actually it was the inner Earth beings who had these 13 skulls, 12 skulls representing 12 different races of galactic beings that lived inside the Earth, and a 13th skull representing the family. And he actually even drew a diagram for us that showed one way in which the inner Earth beings worked with the 13 skulls is they would have a crystal disc that was rotating in a clockwise fashion, and the skull in the center was rotating clockwise, and the 12 outer skulls were rotating counterclockwise. And then he said that this wheel within a wheel effect, that's something that does come up with ufology, is allowed it to create what he called a light station that was able to receive very high frequencies of energies from the cosmos and bring them down and then broadcast it on the Earth. And this was one of the ways that the inner Earth people used the 13 crystal skulls that they had. However, Maia, who had a different theory about it, she talked about, I think, maybe 48 different skulls, 24 on the surface and 24 in the inner Earth. So, I mean, when you're studying the crystal skulls, there are different numbers or combination of crystal skulls that come up. The most popular is about the 13 skulls, the one in 12. But I've heard, too, the Mayans talk about that there could be 52 skulls, four sets of 13, of which they had one set of 13, and some other indigenous people had other sets of 13. So it's just, it's very interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. Now the Mayans and other Native Americans talk about these ancient crystal skulls in a connection with UFOs or with extraterrestrials. What about in modern times? Now we've got about a minute here before break, but in modern times, are there modern connections between crystal skulls and UFOs?
Well, I know in the Mitchell Hedges skull, when my co-authors of the first book were doing research, they saw UFOs appearing inside of the Mitchell Hedges skull, you know, like images, holographic images. Also, there was another man I met, and I don't know where his crystal skull is. It was a small crystal skull, but it had Mayan symbols carved in it. He said it came out of Mexico, and when he took that crystal skull to a Mayan ruin, there was, he said he saw UFOs that were flying around. So it could be that the extraterrestrials are maybe keeping tabs on these crystal skulls, or the crystal skulls are opening up the right energy, because a lot of the UFOs that we see are flying along these electromagnetic grid lines, like what Ruth Cathy talked about in, Harmonix 33, where he was talking about that as he mapped where the UFOs were coming, there were these energy lines. So maybe the crystal skulls can open up some kind of special energy lines and then the UFOs show up. That's a possibility. When we tested Portal de Luz, he was actually creating temporary energy lines when we put him on the ground, which was absolutely unbelievable. So, yes, I think definitely.
We have a break coming up here in less than a minute. Now, I want us to get into this deal with Portal de Luz creating energy lines, and I want and other skulls too. But that one you possess—that's the one that's in the picture, right?
That's the one I'm holding in my picture. Yes.
Yeah,
that's a new skull that was done by a Brazilian carver, I think, in 1988.
All right. So I want to talk about Portal de Luz and the creation of energy lines, and exactly
How do you know that? How do you measure that? We'll do that when we come back, and we'll open the telephone lines for you at 1-800-289-1092. We'll also open the Skype line. I know it didn't work last night, but we'll try it again.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. The telephone line is open at 1-800-289-1092, and we are talking with Joshua Shapiro. Joshua, we have a, well, we don't have a caller on the line. The caller hung up. All right, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. Now, Joshua, you talked about Portal de Luz, which is the crystal skull that you own, and the energy lines. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to try to take this call. And then if the caller is there, we will take the call. And then we'll talk about how you know about those energy lines. So, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Why am I not surprised?
I don't know. Just luck, I guess, you know.
What's on your mind this evening, Kevin?
Well, I do have a question for Joshua. Has anyone ever tried to use the crystal skulls, I guess, quote, use or ask the crystal skulls to detect the location of other skulls? Because apparently all the quote, original crystal skulls have not all been located. So have they ever been used to try and locate the other skulls?
There is a theory that either the central skull the 13, the one that's in the center, I talked about like 12 surrounding one, mm-hmm. could possibly know the location of the other ones, or that encoded within these originals, that they know exactly where the other ones are. But how to obtain such information? I mean, do we have to have somebody who is able to telepathically receive this information? I mean, the Mayans that I talked to talked about that when they do sacred ceremonies and they work with the skulls that they have, which probably they don't admit they have or they don't tell anybody they have because they're sacred objects which they're protecting, they did talk about that they would go into meditation and that they would receive information and knowledge. Now, as I stated before, for myself, I don't really feel that any of these original ones are quite out yet. I think that the ancient skulls, which are out right now, are preparing the way for these original ones. And the other feeling I get, and this comes, and I'll try to make it brief because it's a really involved experience, is I had a vision of a crystal skull which is blue in Peru. And I actually went a couple of times to look for the skull, and I only saw it, you know, like psychically or in visions. My partner went with me the last time. She also saw the skull, but we didn't physically see it. And I believe that even though I've not physically seen the skull, that there is a communication I have that I think I've worked with it in another time, and that's why it knows me. It recognizes my soul essence. And if that communication is correct, then the message that these perhaps original skulls or very old skulls say is that they will decide when they want to come out, and it has nothing to do with human beings trying to go find them or look for them. It's something to do with prophecy and timing, when they come together and how they come together, and it may have nothing to do with people actually finding them or seeking them. So that's kind of a different idea or approach, but again, I could only talk about things that I've heard about, theories, ideas, what people are receiving. So there's a sensing that the skulls do have the information, like, you know, where their brothers and sister skulls are, but also the sense that I got from this blue one, which is interesting because when Carol Wilson Davis, who's a medium in Canada, sat with the Mitchell Hedges skull and went into trance, she talked about high up in the Andes Mountains, exactly where I was going, is a skull that's blue. So that's the only way I can think of how to answer your question, Kevin.
All right, thank you very much. And
you're quite welcome.
Have you ever heard of the theory that there might be also skulls that are hidden on the moon and other planets in the solar system?
Yes, I believe that that's also correct, too, that there are skulls on other planets. I mean, if the extraterrestrials are bringing skulls to help us in our spiritual evolution or to awaken in consciousness, then I think that we could find crystal skulls on other planets as well. But what size and shape and form would those ones be is anyone's guess, because the ones that we see predominantly seem to be similar to like a human bone skull.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Let me remind all of our listeners, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. That's toll-free throughout all of the USA and Canada. If you're outside of that area, you can Skype in. All you have to do is open your Skype program, and the address to Skype is kevin.smith.show. Pretty difficult, isn't it? Kevin.smith.show. All right. Portal de Luz. Yep. How do you know that this skull was creating an energy line or energy grid? How do you know that?
Okay. What happened was is we had an opportunity, and I think this was like in 2001 or 2002, to work with a group in Belgium, that's when I was living in Europe, who worked with a device called a Lecture Antenna. And what this is, the easiest way to describe it is everybody, of course, knows what a dowsing rod is. You know, when you're looking for water or metals or gold or whatever it is, the dowsing rod, when it hits something, the two metal rods will actually break apart. You know, they'll be straight, and then all of a sudden energy will just move them apart.
Or it will. I have seen it draw them together and they'll cross. I've seen it do that.
Yes, exactly. Well, there's a motion that happens when it hits mm-hmm. what you're looking for. The Lechier antenna is a similar concept. It's two rods. However, on this device, they have numbers on the side, like a calibration of numbers. And what happens is this: these rods flip when they reach a specific frequency of energy, which is reflective of the numbers that are on the side. So, for example, they've been able to use this device to measure the frequency of the five human senses, of certain frequencies of energy in the Earth, like they were talking to us about a Maria line and different things. I don't understand the study of this and how they did the calibration, but it's supposed to be extremely accurate. So what happened was is the teacher for this group that's working with this device was there, and we said, okay, we're going to do some tests with this crystal skull, Portal de Luz, and the teacher was saying, well, you know, I don't know why we're doing this test. It's just a piece of stone, and we're not going to find anything. But as they started to do their different measurements of frequencies, they found that Portal de Luz was emanating the frequencies that are equivalent to the five human senses that we have. In other words, it was showing broadcast of frequencies as if it was a living person, a living human being. And
now, that's just weird.
Yeah, it is, but they did the test three times, and three times they got the same result. So then we said, okay, well, obviously this crystal skull is broadcasting some really strange things. Let's put it out in the ground, and then what they did is they tried to measure the ley lines that were going through the garden of the man whose house we were at. And first they found one point, and they put Portal de Luz down there, and he was very upset. When I say he was upset, I felt his energy, and it was like he was very uncomfortable being there. So I told him, look, he's not comfortable here. Would you allow me to just kind of walk around, and I'll see where I feel he wants to be placed? And so what we did is we put him in another location, and using this device, they said, there is a new energy line there that was not there before you put the crystal skull down. So that's what happened in that case. Now, the second thing that happened with Portal de Luz is we took him to a crop circle in England. And we worked with a researcher who had, I don't know the name of the device, but he was able to measure these electromagnetic energy lines. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to see if a person meditated with a crystal skull in the crop circle, would it change the electromagnetic frequencies of energy in the crop circle? So this researcher found where two ley lines were crossing. And he said, okay, let's have the person meditate. And we put a blue arrow rainbow there. And we measured the energy with her just sitting. Then she held the skull and didn't do anything. And then she started to meditate. Now, what the researcher saw was coming in directly from behind her was another energy line. And as soon as she started to meditate with that crystal skull, that energy line broke into two pieces. And that's what he was able to measure. And for the rest of the day, it didn't matter who else was meditating with the crystal skull, those two lines never came back together. Now, what was also interesting, this blue arrow rainbow is a very good channel. She is a universal channel for healing energy. When we do our private sessions, she's able to work with her clients to channel very specific frequencies. The crystal skulls in the session help to create a really nice energy in the room that allows her to do her part, and my part is I do kind of like an intuitive reading. And I just get an enhanced feeling when I'm there, and it's very easy for me to do that. But anyway, when she was doing this meditation, she had a communication from some extraterrestrials. And I forgot where she said they were from. She wrote it down. She wrote kind of like what they look like and everything. She drew that for me. And what the extraterrestrials were saying to her was is that they were very disappointed with us. And she said, why is that? And she said, look, we've created for you, this crop circle we were in was like an Irish knot. We've created this beautiful crop circle for you so that you can appreciate it and enjoy it. And all you're doing is you're doing these tests to try to prove if it's real or not. So that's exactly what happened. And the last thing was we went to another crop circle with Portal de Luz. I was working with another researcher who had, again, a device that's sensitive to the electromagnetic energy patterns there.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was is he measured at the center of the crop circle, this was like a yin-yang pattern, that the energy there was zero. Now, when we put Portal de Luz down, we thought, okay, could he change that reading from zero to something else? Well, he didn't. However, the researcher, Blue Arrow Rainbow, and I, when we were looking at Portal de Luz in the center of the crop circle, we saw like a spiral energy going in and coming out. In other words, whatever the energy was there, it was negating itself, and that was the reason for the zero reading. Now, Portal de Luz told me, because I went to that crop circle before, he said, what you need to do is I want you to do a meditation with me with music, and I want you to meditate with my favorite song. His favorite song is Pachelbel's Canon in D. This is the music that we use in our sessions that people will meditate with. It's a really good music because it helps people to be very calm. So I said, okay, that day finally I had my CD player and my headphones. I said, okay, I'm going to follow this suggestion. So I was very close to where the center of the crop circle was, and I started to meditate with him. I immediately felt myself vibrating very fiercely, and I felt like there was like this, I don't know how you can describe it, like an energy field that just surrounded me. My eyelids were fluttering very quickly, and then I felt inspired to sing with the music, which I did, and I thought I was singing in perfect harmony. But when I came out of the meditation, Blue Arrow Rainbow said, we have no idea what song you were singing. But anyway, I did the meditation with the music, and then what we did is we put Portal de Luz again in the center, and this time the reading was off the scale. So in other words, I needed to do some kind of activation with the crystal skull with the music, and then all of a sudden we were able to change the energy at the center of the crop circle. So these now, are three. Go ahead, Kevin.
You talk about communicating with the skull, and not just right. Portal de Luz, but with other skulls. How do you communicate with the skull?
For each person, it's different. Some people will actually hear another voice. For me, I don't hear another voice. What happens is I hear thoughts that are in my thinking voice. You know, like if you ask people, when you read a book, do you hear the words or do you see the words? Well, when I read a book, I hear the words in my thinking voice. So what happens to me, and it's not just with the crystal skull, this happens to me a lot, but in order for Portal de Luz or whatever crystal skull is talking with me, it's like I'm not thinking about this, and all of a sudden there's this, like, thoughts coming. Like a lot of times when I was writing this book, Portal de Luz was sitting there, and all of a sudden I would get guidance, like, you know, you should write this, or you should put this in there, or sometimes he'll tell me, like, well, this is really funny. When I first started to share him with people in Brazil, because he's a Brazilian quartz made by a Brazilian carver, he told me, he said, you must start your presentations all the time with music. So since I received that message, every time I do a lecture, I always play some kind of song. But the thing is, and maybe this is going to sound strange for people, is I dance with this crystal skull. And the way that I dance with this skull is I throw him in the air, and I've never dropped him. Not so high, because he's like 10 pounds, but I'm throwing him up and catching him and throwing him up with the other hand. And a lot of times people are like, oh, he's going to drop the skull, he's going to break it. But it's just there's an energy flow there, and this is the way that we dance, because he wants to participate in the music. So,
do you view this crystal skull as a living being?
Absolutely. I call the four skulls that travel with me my children. And as children, what I see happen to them is they go through different stages of evolution. Like, for example, when we were doing our tests with these meridian devices, Portal de Luz became the test skull. And I noticed that over time, as we did more and more tests, he started to get more and more powerful and started to balancing people's energy right and left. So each of the crystal skulls has their own way to become activated, and certain things, like some skulls feel masculine, some skulls feel feminine. When I go to sleep, before I go to sleep at night, I do a meditation with the four skulls, and they each one has their certain place where they have to be around my body. So,
have you spent any time with the skull that is called ET?
Yes, I have. And actually, we had that skull when I was living here in Chicago. We had it in our home for a couple of weeks because Miss Van Dieten had to go back to Germany, and she trusted us. So we had it in our house, and there were some interesting things that happened when it was there. For example, for my, well, now it's my ex-wife, but she's still here in Chicago. When we slept with that crystal skull, she saw herself in a dream flying with that one and the Mitchell Hedges skull. And then after that dream, we actually were able to unite the two skulls together because at this time, Anna Mitchell Hedges was staying with Mr. Holman in Indiana. And we actually had to ask the police department to tell us how to find the house. So we will thank the Valparaiso Police Department for helping us to bring together E.T. and the Mitchell Hedges skull.
You spent time with the E.T. skull, mm-hmm. this skull, an archaeologist immediately said upon looking at the skull, that doesn't look like a human skull.
He said to Miss Van Dieten was, we have never found a bone skull in the ground that matches the shape of E.T.
Okay. That being the case, when you spent time with that skull, mm-hmm. did it communicate to you, and did it communicate that it was not terrestrial?
Okay, what happened is we took this crystal skull. It didn't tell me that directly myself, but there was an experience where we went to Australia. We participated in the Body, Mind, Spirit, and Miss Van Dieten came with us, and also my second wife, Vera, came, and I was there. And what happened was, and I was there, I was like the recorder of this, there was a woman who had an experience with ET, and she felt that she had to bring her teacher to come see this crystal skull. So the teacher came, she was like a master Reiki teacher, and she started channeling from the skull. And this is what she said. She said that there was an extraterrestrial being from a faraway galaxy who was kind of a misfit. And his elders or civilization or whatever felt that he needed to be thrown out into the universe in order to learn certain lessons. And so somehow he was drawn to the Earth, and in order to have contact with the people on the Earth, he took from the essence of himself an energy, and he manufactured this crystal skull. So in other words, maybe it was done through the power of the mind. Because again, this Michael Kent that we talked about was telling us in Atlantis that they were creating crystal skulls using just the power of the mind, you know, like visualizing it, and then it would manifest into the physical reality.
All right, so, now this sort of brings us back to the age of these skulls a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Talking about Atlantis and so forth.
Okay.
How old are the oldest of these ancient skulls?
Well, what has been discussed is, I think in the case of Max, which is another ancient crystal skull, which probably some people may have seen again in the sci-fi program, and I think Mrs. Parks was on Coast to Coast recently. That one they talk about might be like 30,000, 36,000 years old. I'm not exactly sure how they have this date. Mitchell Hedges skull, they say it's from Atlantis, so at least it would be 15,000 years old. But my sensing is, and again, this is just my intuition, that there may be other crystal skulls we have yet to see that could be over 100,000 years old or 500,000 years old. But I think the problem with all of this is that, for me, it doesn't really matter how old is this skull, how was it created, who had it. The most important thing for me is, how are the crystal skulls responding to the people today? What's happening to them in their life? How is it making a difference? And, you know, this is where we're hearing a lot of reports from people, even with the new skulls, how once a person has an opportunity to meet a crystal skull, their life totally changes, a lot of good things start happening, or they go through a healing where they're releasing blocked emotions or confusion or some things in their life that aren't going well. This, to me, is really what I think is the most important aspect of the crystal skulls right now, is how are they helping people right now, and why are so many people all of a sudden saying, hey, I want to go see one, or I want to own my own skull, because, of course, many people can buy the crystal skulls now. So one of the things that I want to do, and I think I'm going to try this next year, and it actually was an inspiration when I was interviewed by Uri Geller, I think like about 5 years ago or something. And I'll tell you something that happened in that interview, too, that was pretty interesting. Uri Geller asked me this question. He said, look, you know, we have these crystal skulls, and they're interesting, but how can they help to create world peace? because this was something that was important for him. And because he asked me that question, I got an answer. And the answer was that, what if, since we have so many crystal skulls that are out there, we just say to all the people who have them, hey, on this one day, what we're all going to do is we're just going to do a meditation, maybe because people are in different time zones. People in each of the different time zones at that hour for 10 minutes, just do a meditation and focus as much as you can on the idea of peace happening on the planet, of there being love and peace and people working in a cooperation. So that's what I'm going to propose, I think, next year, because we just got too many things going on now because of the movie and all these people that are contacting us now. But what was interesting in the interview with Uri Geller is as soon as we started talking about crystal skulls, he was doing what's called a dual broadcast. Maybe that's what you're also doing, where part was on the Internet and part is coming out on actual radio.
Right.
The Internet broadcast immediately stopped and did not work for the rest of the time we were talking, as soon as we started talking about crystal skulls. This also happened to me with Portal de Luz. When I was in Las Vegas one time, they did a simulcast also where they were showing a video on the Internet and the radio program, and they had tested the camera. It was working perfectly. As soon as we started the show, the camera failed and then immediately started working as soon as our program was over.
Well, we don't have any gremlins running through the lines tonight, but I will tell you, I have had weird stuff like that happened before, and not related to crystal skulls, but we went through a period of time where there was one particular guest we kept trying to have on. Each time, either his telephone or ours would just stop. It would just die. And finally we were able to do a show, but I've seen those kind of sort of paranormal gremlins happen with the technology before. We reached a point where I said, and some of our listeners will remember when I said this, that I think the studio equipment must be demon possessed. And but we got over that. But I have had that happen before. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I noticed your guest had mentioned that when the skulls were put together, the new and the old, that it almost had like a download effect, like it had transferred information. Is there any kind of like a conference or a local gathering place where everybody can kind of bring theirs together and see what would happen if there's any kind of transference of information or anything were to happen?
Okay, we've had many experiences where we've taken our new skulls that we've had and we've put them around some of these ancient ones, and we've seen that the crystal skulls have changed, you know, their field, their energy. As far as gatherings go, this is actually one of the things that I'm working on. We started in Holland in 2006 to create what are called crystal skull festivals. And what we did is we brought together, you know, different teachers. And then, of course, many people who attended also brought their crystal skulls. In 2007, we were in Budapest. And now in October of this year, we're going to have gatherings again in Budapest again and also in Belgium. I also know, and I forget, Angel Valley is the name of the group. They're going to have a meeting with the Mitchell Hedges Go in September. And from what I saw on the Sci-Fi Channel, which was there when they had this gathering before, a lot of people do come and bring their crystal skulls there as well. As far as, you know, like gatherings just happening spontaneously, that hasn't quite happened yet. But, you know, in order for an idea like this to manifest, somebody has to have the initial idea, and all it takes is to say, I want to do this, and just start moving forward and see what happens, because there's a lot of people that have crystal skulls now, and there are probably quite a few people in your area in Michigan who do. I know here in Chicago, where I am, there's quite a number of people who do, so it's just a question of putting out a message, and, you know, the skulls can come together, and a lot of times they are sharing energy. Now, one interesting thing that came up, though, that kind of my interpretation or experience on this, is a lot of the ancient skulls, because there's, you know, countries like Mexico and in Central America who are saying, we have laws of antiquity and these are ancient artifacts and we want them back. Actually, Belize right now is trying to get back the Mitchell Hedges skull. This was a question asked to me by the radio program I was on yesterday. The thing is these new skulls, new crystal skulls that we have, you know, we're just buying them, or they're being given as gifts. They're being made now. And so these new skulls have a total freedom to be able to travel all over the world.
All right, we're into a break. We will continue after the break. Telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, or you can Skype in at kevin.smith.show. We shall return. The Kevin Smith Show audience is anxious to do business with those who support the show. Sponsoring the Kevin Smith Show is just plain smart. Get your free media kit emailed to you today by sending an email to adinfo@kevinsmithshow.com. That's ADINFO at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And not only can you call me at 1-800-289-1092, you can also, if you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can Skype in at kevin.smith.show. All right. If you're inside of the USA, inside of Canada, we've got a toll-free number for you. If you're outside, you can flash message us or you can Skype in. All right.
Joshua, got a question for you. Thought about this during the break. Is there any evidence that Nostradamus was in possession of one of these skulls?
I have not heard any stories related to that that he was, so I would have to say not at this time. Could I go back to one thing I was trying to say before the break, which I think is important? What I was trying to explain is, if the ancient skulls are not able to freely travel in the world, but they're able to pass their energies to the newer skulls, then what happens is the essence of those ancient skulls then can be taken to all these different places all over the world. So that's the reason why I think it's important. And would it also be okay if we give out the website to the people listening?
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, I talked about this rose quartz skull that Mr. Masson had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that we've got pictures of it on the website, and also the reports from Brazil where I went, what happened to me is there. The new website we have is at www.whoisjoshuashapiro.com. And Shapiro is spelled S-H-A-P-I-R-O. So if people want to go there, they can read the blog. That's where I'm putting reports, like when we go to Italy next month and I work with Bill Holman and the Mitchell Hedges go, whatever happens to us that's interesting, I'm going to put it on the blog there. So people have a chance to read it, or I try to take pictures, you know.
Okay, give the web address again.
So it's just www.whoisjoshuashapiro.com.
All right. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, listen, I want to say I saw the documentary on the Science Fiction Channel about the crystal skulls and about the things, and I thought it was really interesting. I'd like to ask your guest, listen, I missed part of the show, and I apologize if I'm asking a question you've already answered. Is there any accounts of the skulls being mentioned in the Bible, any other religious text, maybe any cave drawings or petroglyphs or anything like that?
Okay, for the Bible itself, literally the answer is no. However, I'm very glad you asked this question. Is there something called the Bible Code? This is a code that's embedded inside of the actual Bible, the Torah, which is the Old Testament. I think it's the first, seven books of the Bible or something like that. What we did is we worked with some of the most knowledgeable Bible Code people, and we said, can you look inside of this code and see if the crystal skulls are talked about? And I forgot which books it was in, but it's going to be reported in the new book we did. We show, they call it a Bible code matrix. It's column by rows. There was a certain section in there where it talked about the Mayans, the crystal skulls, that they were computers. It talked about Mitchell Hedges. Belize was in there. My wife's name and my name were in there around the crystal skulls. So in the Bible code, there is information about the crystal skulls. As far as petroglyphs, I haven't heard any stories told where there's actually a picture of a crystal skull that way. And as far as
if there was a petroglyph, I don't know if there was and some little figure is holding a crystal skull, you wouldn't know it's crystal because it's carved in stone.
Right.
Yeah.
The only experience I have with petroglyphs, it's not directly connected with crystal skulls, but it's an interesting story, is there is a tribe of the Navajo, and they used to be called the Canecito, but that's not their real name. It was talked about in the Morton and Thomas book. And I actually went out there, and I talked to their elder, and the elder said, yes, we do have a crystal skull, but we do not show it to anyone, nor will we even allow other crystal skulls to be in its presence because we don't want it to interfere with its energy. And the reason I bring this experience up is because he took us to a place on their property where they had a petroglyph, and it was a petroglyph of a strange-looking, like, humanoid. One hand was human and one hand was alien. And when I put my left hand into the alien hand, the energy was so high, I couldn't stand it. I had to remove my hand from there. But there are these petroglyphs that they have on their property, but they also talked about that they had a crystal skull. So that's just an interesting synchronicity connected to the caller's call. But the Bible code definitely was talking about crystal skulls, and we were able to find all of these terms that I mentioned in a very small area of the Bible. That's, these terms are in Hebrew. So we need to do more research with that. That's one of our projects for the World Mystery Research Center.
It's amazing how much we could learn by actually being able to read the Bible as a nation or as a planet, mm-hmm. actually find out what it's talking about, or at least some of the stuff. We're never going to be able to figure it all out. But that's why I wanted to ask that question. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. And, Trey made a point that I've made on this show, and I take heat every time I say this, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
If people will take off their religious sunshades, I'm not saying get rid of your religion, just take off the filters, the sunshades,
mm-hmm.
and you just read what's in the Bible, just read what it says, and forget about all that stuff that you've been taught, well, that means this and that means this. Just what does it say?
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's some fantastic stuff in there that it beats Spielberg altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, it talks about things that are way beyond Star Wars and Star Trek, it's just fantastic what is actually said. Just, you just read the words.
Right.
And I think the thing is, it's so fantastic a story that theologians have tried to explain it this way and explain it that way so that, it doesn't really mean exactly what it says there. And they've tried to make it more believable. And in so doing, have made it incredible. All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, I had a quick question. It had to do with, with one of the major religions. What kind of role do crystal skulls play in the Jewish religion? Because I know that's a rather old one. And also, do they have any healing capabilities? Thank you.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call.
Wow, that's a really strange question to ask me since I'm Jewish.
Well, maybe you will know then.
Well, as far as I've seen related to crystal skulls, I really haven't seen a connection with the Hebrews or Judaism, but I wonder if possibly, I'm trying to think, there is a idea about that the Knights Templar may have had a crystal skull, because I talked with someone in Scotland and he seemed to be knowledgeable about that. Knights Templar are not exactly connected with Judaism, though.
But they are connected with Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They're not connected with Judaism, other than the fact that they went to Jerusalem to fight against the Muslims who had taken over Jerusalem,
right.
And that's where their connection with Jerusalem would be. And is the story that they found the crystal skull in Jerusalem, or did they have it with them when they went there?
No, I didn't hear exactly where the crystal skull came up, but there seems to be some connection with the Knights Templar that they may have a crystal skull. So directly with the Hebrews and Judaism, I haven't come up with anything yet. I mean, the only thing I can say is that, I was brought up in Judaism, and yet here I am working with crystal skulls. So maybe from the more mystical aspect of Judaism, there might be something. But there really, in my research, there hasn't come up a connection with that yet. As far as the question of healing, though, this is the common thing that's coming up with almost all of the crystal skulls. If they have this powerful energy field around them, I mean, certainly when I was in the presence of the Mitchell Hedges skull, I don't know what kind of energy field was around there. It just... did something to me. I just felt so peaceful and calm and happy, and I could have stayed there, you know, for days and not have to move and not eat or anything. But one of the common things that we see with the crystal skulls is when people are sitting in the sessions, and if somebody would have told me when I got Portal de Luz, I think it was in 1999, that here I am 9 years later and I would have been involved in over 1,000 sessions with people with these crystal skulls, I would never have believed them. But in the over all the sessions we've seen, this is the common thing that we've seen come up, even with our new skulls. It's like, for example, I remember in Poland there was this really strong-looking man, you know, who, like, nothing could affect him, and he broke down and cried in his session. And what was happening to him was is that he probably went through, like, the Second World War, and he probably lost members of his family. So he became, you know, like, really strong inside, but he had a lot of emotional turmoil inside. The crystal skulls just brought all of that out, and that's the reason why he cried.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with Joshua Shapiro, the crystal skulls, the real ones, not the stuff. Indiana Jones, that's an interesting movie. But not the stuff of science fiction, but the real crystal skulls. And your calls, 1-800-289-1092. Kevin Smith Show has been broadcasting to the world since 2000. Our audience has grown from zero to audience in 70 countries, making it one of the hottest shows on which to advertise. Put the power of the Kevin Smith Show to work for your own business. Advertising on this show is definitely one of the hottest ways to expose your business to the world. Request your free media kit right now and put the sizzle of this show to work for you today. Send your request to adinfo@kevinsmithshow.com. That's adinfo, A-D-I-N-F-O, at kevinsmithshow.com. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there
in the morning light. Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Yeah, that commercial about advertising with the Kevin Smith Show is woefully out of date. We're not in 70 countries, we're in 95 countries. It's even better, a better deal, huh? I'm going to have to talk with the boss about getting that updated. The boss, as soon as I get time, I'll do it. All right, we're talking with Joshua Shapiro, and we're talking about these crystal skulls. Now, Joshua, we're in final approach here. We've only got about 10 minutes left in the show. And you mentioned earlier something about a blue crystal skull. Now, Jerry Wills was on this show talking about an expedition he did to the high Andes. And in search for that crystal skull, he didn't find it. But the question comes now, do you know Jerry Wills?
Yes, of course. Very good friends of Jerry Wills. I didn't know he was looking for a blue skull.
Yeah, he said on this show that he had heard about a blue crystal skull that was supposed to be somewhere in the Andes, and during that expedition where he told us about finding some lost cities, and one lost city that was quite obviously created by giants because of the size and stature of the buildings and the tables and the stone chairs that they found were for people as large as Jerry or larger. Now, I know Jerry, and he's not a small guy.
No, he's not.
There are some NBA players that he can look down to.
Exactly.
So he's a big guy. But he was looking for a blue crystal skull. Didn't find it, but he had heard about it. And I was just wondering if he had heard about that from you, because this expedition took place several years ago. Do you know if he heard about that blue crystal skull from you, or maybe he had a different source?
I've never talked to Jerry directly about the blue skull, so I don't know. What I can tell you is that one time where I went, there was some friends that came with me, and they also saw blue skull, but it wasn't exactly the same as I saw it. The one that I've seen, it's been for probably about, I can't even remember which was the trip we went, over 10 years, is sky blue in color, transparent, has a movable jaw. And when I went to look for it high up in the Andes Mountains near the border with Ecuador, it did appear to me in my mind. I saw it, and it was a living being unto itself. That's all I know. And then in 2002, I went back with my partner, Blue Arrow Rainbow, and she also saw the skull. It was inside of a mountain. And I just feel that it decides for itself when it's going to come out and how it's going to come out. The other thing that was important...
When you say it's inside of a mountain, you mean like in a cave, or is it buried?
I don't think it's buried. I think that there are actually people, and I don't. When I say people, I don't know if it's people like you and me, because there was some young boys when we went into this area. They said there was a shaman who said there was a city inside of this mountain that we were near, but then he had passed away, so we had no way to check with him what it's about. But this area where we went to, people had amazing stories. They said they saw UFOs in this area. Well, we actually did see a UFO in this area. We went to special, like, circle of stones. I brought Portal de Luz there. I was given information. We had to do a meditation in this area. And after we finished the meditation, I just turned around behind me, and right up in the sky, all by itself, was a cloud that looked exactly like a UFO. I mean, everybody could see it. It was so obvious. And then I went back to talk to the people I was doing the meditation with, and I looked back, and then the cloud had dissipated, and then after a few minutes, it was completely gone. So, because, you know, I was saying, I'd like a sign, you know, I'm getting this message through Portal de Luz, I have to be in this place at a certain time to do a meditation in this certain place. And the confirmation was this UFO that showed up after we finished the meditation. It was just there in the sky by itself. So I don't know if this is the same skull or not that Jerry's talking about, but definitely I've had visions. I still, even now as we're talking, I see the skull in my mind's eye very clearly, and I don't know if it's my destiny that I'm supposed to go back and find it or somebody else will find it, but if this skull comes out the way that I've experienced it, it's going to be a very, very powerful one. So we just have to see. I mean, this is the lot of being a crystal skull explorer. You never know what's going to happen next. And sometimes you have to be willing to do crazy things that maybe nobody else, you know, is willing to do. You're just inspired to go somewhere or do something, so you do it. So that's basically, you know, the story. Again, in the new book we have, which should be out in America in English sometime before the end of the year, the complete story about the three trips we took to Peru to look for the skull will be told. So it would take a whole show just to go over all the experiences I had with this.
How large is this book?
Oh, when it gets done, it'll be probably 540 or 550 pages.
So it's a big one.
Oh, yeah, because I'm putting everything into it. It has the research. It has about the ancient skulls, the old skulls, the new skulls, the histories in there, many people's experiences. What else do we have? We have the indigenous people, what they have to say, you know, a little bit of everything, resources. So I put everything in there. Well, that's me. I'm Aries.
Are there a lot of photographs in there as well?
Exactly. I think probably 50 to 70 pictures and illustrations, because to me, the easiest way to explain to people what they're reading about is have a picture there, because then it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Having the photographs so that when you talk about, for instance, a smoky crystal, we can see it. And
exactly.
Now we understand what you're talking about. So, yeah, that's important. Joshua, very quickly, give us your web address again, because we're racing towards the end of the hour.
Sure. It's www.whoisjoshuashapiro.com. And also, too, we have a free ebook that we're giving out. A lot of people are taking it. You can find the free ebook on the website, too. It's a nice little book that gives some basic information about crystal skulls. And would I be able to just give a quick summary what I think is why they're important?
Yeah, you can. We've got about 1 minute.
Okay. For me, when I saw the first crystal skull of me, I knew immediately the prophecies of a golden age are absolutely going to happen. I also knew that the crystal skulls were involved in helping to create this. They either have some vital information that somehow we're going to figure out how to encode to use to help us, or maybe the 13 will come together and that will be the catalytical event that will bring world peace. I'm not exactly sure how, but I know that because of all the interest around crystal skulls now, for me, it's absolute proof that they are going to come here to help us. And there were some aspects of the crystal skull in the Indiana Jones film.
I wish we had more time. Joshua, thank you so much for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for a moment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, Robert Stanley joins us, and he's going to be talking about some statistical stuff having to do with UFOs, and he says we are in a major UFO flap all the way from the year 2000 till now. You want to be sure and be here for that. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.